Erev Tov, everyone. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone is feeling well. Tonight, we have a very, very special opportunity to learn about Parshios Achrimos and Kedoshim. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when the Holy Chevra would come to Parshios Kedoshim, it brought great joy. It brought great, great simcha. And there should be tremendous simcha that we have the opportunity to learn these two Parshios. So the Zohar says that about Kedoshim, the Beis Aaron, Zechus V'Yin Aleinu, tells us that when you read Parshas Achrimos, you're already tasting Yom Kippur. There are other times during the year when different aspects of Yom Kippur come through. On Shavuos, of course, Shavuos was about the first Luchos, Yom Kippur was about the second Luchos, Purim. We've discussed many times Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. But the Beis Aaron also says that when we read Parshas Achrimos, you already have to start feeling Yom Kippur. There's an aspect of Yom Kippur that's in the Shabbos. So what I want to do tonight is learn a little bit about Yom Kippur, a couple of aras about Yom Kippur, relate, of course, to Sfira, and also about Parshas Kedoshim. But Bederech Klal, tonight I'm going to be using the Sefer of Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita, the Sefer Emunah Sitacha. Rav Wolfson is the Mashkiach at Torah Vadas. He's also the Rav of a very special Shul and Baruch Park in Munis Yisrael, a very special Beis Medrash. And Rav Wolfson points out that we know at the end of Sfiras HaOmer, at the end of davening by Sfiras HaOmer, the special Yiratzon that we say, in which we try, we daven to Hashem to help us fix the different midos connected to each night, we end it by saying that the purpose of this time is L'taharenu l'kadshenu b'ktushasecha halyona amin selah. That we ask Hashem's help that during these days that we want to purify ourselves, to sanctify ourselves with God's supernal holiness. And Rav Wolfson points out that if you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Kiddush of the Rambam and Hilchos Tar of the Rambam, almost all of the halachos you find in the Rambam's Book of Holiness and the Rambam's Book of Purity are in Parshios that we read during the Sfira. They're in Parshios that we read during the Sfira. So therefore, it says even the Parshios of the week that we read during this tkufa, during this special time, are geared towards us increasing our purity and our holiness. And we're going to talk a little bit, of course, about that tonight. But first, let's start with Parshas Achrimos. We know Parshas Achrimos is the parsha in which we read all about Yom HaKippurim. The Avodas Yom HaKippurim is found in this parsha. And the parsha starts in a very tragic way. Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Why that is, again, in years past, we've discussed why the tzivui of Yom Kippur begins talking about the death of Aaron's two sons, that Yom Kippur is a time when we have to recognize, you know, the Kohen Gadol going to do the Avodah has to follow it exactly. You can't veer off. And we know that the Daf HaYomi, those that learn Daf HaYomi, Maseches Yoma, know that during Bayis Sheni, there were hundreds of Kohanim Gedolim. Hundreds during Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon, you had a fraction of the amount of Kohanim Gedolim you had during Bayis Sheni. And why was that? During Bayis Sheni, we know that it was an office that was rewarded due to bribery or political maneuvering, not to the biggest tzaddikim. And therefore, many, many, many years, a Kohen Gadol died on Yom Kippur because he veered off the Avodah. And the Torah starts the headlining, the Avodas Yom Kippurim, telling us that it's Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron, because they died b'karvasam l'fnei Hashem, by trying to come even closer to God in ways that weren't sanctioned. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol has to learn this lesson. But then the Torah tells us, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe deber el Aaron achicha. Why does it add the word achicha? What does it mean? So what, that Aaron is the brother of Moshe? We know that. Whenever it tells Moshe to tell Aaron something, it says achicha. Whenever we describe Moshe, Vaydavar Hashem el Aaron, achi Moshe, we don't talk about Aaron as the brother of Moshe. Why specifically over here? In the beginning of the instructions that Moshe is going to be giving to Aaron HaKohen, Aaron his brother, does it davka highlight that he's achicha? So Rav Wolfson quotes from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim ibn Attar, tells us that you know why it refers to Aaron as the brother of Moshe? Because it talks about immediately, the first instruction is that he can't come into the Holy of Holies except for with these specific karbanos, right? So the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, what's the connection between referring to Aaron as the brother of Moshe in this context, specifically for his ability to go into the Holy of Holies? So Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, you know why Aaron is zocha to go into the Holy of Holies? Because Hashem told Moshe by the burning bush, Hinehu yotze l'krasecha v'racha v'samach b'libo. In Perek Dalet Pasuk Yudalet 4:14, in the beginning of Shemos, at the end of Moshe's back and forth with Hashem by the burning bush, Hashem says that Aaron will speak for you, and behold, he is coming out to greet you, v'samach, and he's going to see you, and he's going to be joyous in his heart. So Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, this is why we refer to Aaron as Aaron Ochicha this specific time, to show that the zechus he has to go in, lefnai v'lefnim, to the Holy of Holies, is because he went out to greet Moshe, and he was happy in his heart. So Rav Wolfson says, what's the connection between these two? The fact over here, talking about Aaron's ability to go into the Holy of Holies, is somehow connected to the fact that Aaron HaKohen came out to greet Moshe v'samach b'libo, and he was joyous and he was happy in his heart. What's pshat? So Rav Wolfson has a beautiful idea, a beautiful, beautiful approach that really is based upon a famous Gemara. It's based upon a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amid Beis, that when Moshe went up to get the Torah, the Malachim were very upset. The Malachim were very upset. And they said, what is this son of a woman doing here? What is this human being, this mortal, doing here in Shemayim? He's coming to take the Torah from us. Hayitachin, how can this be? So Hashem tells Moshe, Moshe, nu, respond to the angels. What do you have to say to them? So Moshe says to the angels, tell me, is there any jealousy amongst you that you need to be told that you can't be jealous? Is there any hatred amongst you that you losisnes achicha b'lvavecha? Moshe Rabbeinu debates the Malachim. So the question right away is, I don't understand. What's pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Malachim, tell me, do you have any jealousy that you need the Torah to help you? Aren't they jealous of Moshe? Right? Think about it. What do you mean? The Malachim are jealous. Hey, why does he get that? Like when your kids fought, you know? Or friends like, hey, why do you get that? Aren't they jealous of you? That's what they're tining? They're tining that you shouldn't have it? That they should? So Rav Wolfson says, isn't the Gemara astira mineu bei? Isn't it internally contradictory? It's an internal contradiction. Meaning, what Moshe says, you guys don't get jealous. Really? They don't, Moshe? Why are they upset at you for coming to take their Torah? And we have other cases like this where we see that the Malachim exhibit certain trait of jealousy. So Zaptor of Wolfson, listen to what he says. He says there are two types of jealousies. The first jealousy is the jealousy that we often think of as a bad trait. It's when you see someone else has something and you want what that person has. And you feel that you should have what that person has. Because that's a very bad form of jealousy. That's a very dangerous form of jealousy. That's a jealousy that belies, unfortunately, a lack of emunah b'hashkacha maleya in Hashem's divine providence, that Hashem gives every person sha'asali kol tzarki, that Hashem gives each and every one of us exactly what we need, right? But he says there's another form of jealousy, that we refer to it as a kinna. And we say jealousy, but in some ways it's not a jealousy. It's almost like a kanos, a zealousness. And what is that? Rav Wolfson says, and he brings many makoros, many sources, that Hashem put into the Bria, put into creation, that everyone has their proper place. And when someone else moves in on your proper place, that's when there's also kinna. That's when there's also a form of zealousness, like, why is this person encroaching on my turf? And he brings an amazing example. You know what example he brings? He brings when the Yamsuf was very upset. The sea didn't want to split for Moshe. And the sea told Moshe, I don't understand. Who was here first? I was here before you. Why am I splitting for you? You should split for me. And the sea, and the sea, that's what the Chazal tell us. It was a conversation between the sea and Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The sea didn't want to split, said, I came first. Why? Because the sea felt that it has its tchum, it has its boundaries. And who is this human being to tell the sea, no, that's not your boundary. I'm coming into your boundary and you have to move for me. And Rav Wolfson says it was the same thing with the Malachim. The Torah was in Shemayim. The Torah comes from the highest place, Tachas Kisei HaKavod. The Malachim see a human being coming up and say, who are you to come into our area? This is our domain. Don't impinge on our domain. You want to take something from our domain and bring it down to earth? How are you allowed to do that? That doesn't belong there. It belongs in here, in our tchum, in our Dalet Amos, in our gvulos, in our boundaries. And that's what Hashem said to Moshe. No, Moshe answered them, and Moshe showed them, look at the Torah HaKadosha. The Torah is meant to be given to the Tachtonim. The Torah HaKadosha is meant to be lived in the world and brought into the world. But that, Rav Wolfson says, is what how would I understand that the Gemara and Shabbos. So now Rav Wolfson says, it all makes sense. You know what makes sense? It makes sense, the Yerushalmin Yuma. The Yerushalmin Yuma says that Aaron's allowed to come into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but you know who's not even allowed to come into the Kodesh Kedoshim? Even Malachim are not allowed to come into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Only Aaron. Why Aaron? Because he is Achicha. Right? Aaron Achicha is the one that's allowed to come into the Holy of Holies. Why? Because we know in Parshas Miketz, HaBechor Kibchor Raso V'Atzir Kitzi'i Raso. Even with birth orders in a family, there's a certain roles that everyone plays in their certain birth order. The Bechor has a certain role. The middle child has a certain role. You know, I'm the youngest of four boys. I know I had a certain role, right? As the youngest of the four boys, punching bag. No, I'm joking. Chas v'shalom. We were all punching bags for each other, right? But the idea that everyone has a role. HaBechor kivchor raso v'atzir kitzir raso. The older one in his station, the younger one in his station. Aaron was the older one. Aaron could have tied it to Moshe. One second, Moshe. This is my tchum that you're entering. I'm the older one. I'm the Bechor. I'm going to be the leader of this family. And if anyone's going to step up into real leadership, it's me. But instead, what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Not only is Aaron not upset, Aaron is happy for you. Aaron is happy for you. Meaning, by Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Aaron had no hasaga. He was totally mevatel himself. He totally nullified himself. He said, I don't have any tchum. I don't have any boundaries. I don't have any area that I feel is mine that Moshe can't impinge on my area. Aaron HaKohen, the Archaim HaKadosh is telling us, because he saw Moshe, v'samach belibo, and he totally nullified this concept of having his own space, of his own stature, of his own status, and who is Moshe to come into my place, that's why he can go into the Holy of Holies, that even a Malach can't go into. Because Aaron, the Malachim even had this kinna, this aspect of zealousness and almost jealousy. Like, one second, why are you coming into my Dalet Amos? Why are you coming into my place, to Moshe Rabbeinu? What are you doing taking this? Aaron didn't have that when it came to his brother. So why is that? What does that have to do with going into the Holy of Holies? So listen to Rav Wolfson, Taitch's beautiful, beautiful Masuk Midvash, Rav Wolfson's Torah. Rav Wolfson says, there's one place in the world. There's only one place in the world that there's no concept of tchum. There's no concept of place. There's no concept of boundary. You know where that was? That was in the Holy of Holies. There was no concept of boundaries in the Holy of Holies. We know the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, tells us that the Aron didn't take up any space. There were no boundaries, meaning you measured from the side of the wall of the Holy of Holies to the Ark of the Covenant, it was 10 Amos. Then you measured from the other edge of the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron, to the other wall, it was 10 Amos, right? So there's 20 Amos plus the area that the Ark used up, yeah? But when you measured from wall to wall, it was only 20 Amos. So how could that be? Because in the Holy of Holies, there was no space. Mathematics didn't make any sense. Spatial relation, it didn't apply in the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was the only place in the world where there were no boundaries, where there was no tchum. And you know who can come into the Holy of Holies? only a person also that has no boundaries, meaning a person that is totally mevatel his sense of self, that he didn't feel that someone else is impinging on my status, on my territory. No, you have to stay out. And that's what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh is teaching us. That's why the parasha starts, Parasha Sachrimos, when Hashem tells him, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Daber al Aron Achicha, Moshe, you know who's going to be able to, even Moshe couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only Aaron. You know why, Moshe? Because Aaron is Achicha. And you're his little brother, and he still didn't care. And not only did he not care, he was happy for you. He was happy, totally nullified, totally was mevatel, the sense that he had a place in who are you, Moshe, to step onto my turf. And therefore, such a person is a person that can go into the place that has no turf, can go into the Holy of Holies that had no concept of space. And what's interesting, Rav Wolfson says that we often read the Parsha of Achrimos during the week of Sfira, of the Midah of Netzach. Tonight, for example, is the 26th night of Sfira, right? 3 weeks and 5 days. We're in the week that's known as Netzach. Netzach. What does Netzach mean? Netzach can mean eternal, but you know what else Netzach means? Nitzachon means victory. And unfortunately, sometimes people use this midah, this attribute of victory, in a sense of fighting against someone else, and that you have to be victorious. During Sphere of Wolfson says, we're here to fix the midos. We're here to fix the attributes. You know what Nitzachon is? You know who you have to be victorious over? You know you have to be victorious over? You have to be victorious over yourself. That's who you have to be menatzeach. That's who you have to be victorious over. That's the Nitzachon. The Nitzachon against the Yetzirah in you. Against the Amalek in you. So we have a mid of wanting to fight and wanting to be victorious and endure. But Rav Wolfson says, we read the Parsha of Achrimos so often in the week of Netzach to teach us, it's not about being victorious over Yenim. It's not about being victorious over another person. It's about being victorious over yourself. And that's why it's Aaron Achicha. That's why it's only Aaron who exhibited such a trait that he was able to go Lefnai V'Lefnim, that he was able to go into the Holy of Holies. So that's one idea about Yom Kippur. But now let's get to another idea of Yom Kippur. I also want to had a couple ideas in Kedoshim, but we'll see how many we get to in Kedoshim. But this is a very important idea in Yom Kippur that's a little Kabbalistic, so I ask you to haltkap, ask you to hold on to your head here. Okay, we're not going to go into the depths of all of the calculations, but let's just start. As we said from the Beis Aharon, we're already feeling Yom Kippur, right? We're already feeling Yom Kippur this week when we read Parshas Achrimos. So I want to share just one interesting halacha in the Avodas Yom Kippurim. Those that are learning Daf Hayomi, this is what we're into now. We're into Yuma, right? So what's very interesting is, we know normally when you bring a karbon, this is something that we've read many, many times in Vayikra and Tzav, many times, that what's part and parcel of the avoda of the karbon, the service of sacrifices, is it the slaughtering? The slaughtering is okay. It could be done even by a non-Kohen. You had to catch the blood, okay, that's a service. You had to transport the blood to the Mizbech, that was a service. But what was the most important service of a karbon? It was the Zrikas Hadam. It's the splashing the blood against the Mizbeach. You know what's interesting? On Yom Kippur, the most important karbanos, the holiest of the holies, the karbanos that's blood is the two karbanos that blood is brought into the Holy of Holies, it's not sprinkled on anything. It's just like tossed into the air, right? It doesn't fall. It goes towards the kaporis, towards the covering of the arum, towards the covering of the ark. It doesn't hit the kaporis. It doesn't hit the kaporis itself. Why? Normally, the whole essence of a sacrifice is the zrikas adam, the sprinkle of the blood, and it goes al kir mizbachacha. It goes on the walls of the mizbeach, or karnos hamizbeach, on the horns, on the corners of the mizbeach. But yet, when we bring the blood of these sacrifices, lifnai v'lifnim, the soyer l'Hashem, the special goat offering to atone for all the Jewish people, of the blood of the bull that's going to atone for Aaron and all the Kohanim, and we bring that blood into the Holy of Holies, right? It's not sprinkled against the kapores. It's not sprinkled against the aron. Why not? So listen to Rav Wolfson says, again, this is a shtickle mind-blowing here, everyone. This is a little mind-blowing. But let's understand one yesod that he says. He says that there are 40 levels of creation. There were 40 levels on creation. There are two ways of figuring this out. For those that are the Kabbalists, for those of you who are Kabbalists, because we know that creation all happened with Hashem's name, with Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh. You can spell out Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, Yud-Vav-Dalad, He-Yud, Vav-Yud-Vav, He-Yud, that's 10 letters. And we know there are four worlds. There's the world of the Asiyah, there's the world of Yetzirah, of Bria and Atzilus, four worlds where creation was evident, right? So that's 40 levels of creation. Also, another way that the Kabbalists get to 40 levels of creation is that we know there are 10 sayings, Ba'asara Ma'amaros Nivra Olam, that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, right? And if we use the name of Hashem, of Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh, four letters, 4 times 10, 40. We see that's demonstrated in Mem Yom, that it takes 40 days for a fetus, for conception to take place. Moshe Rabbeinu is up on Har Sinai for how many days? Oh, 40 days and 40 nights, right? He's bringing a whole new world order into existence. The 40 days and 40 nights. People say, oh, the Aseres HaDibros correspond to the 10 commandments, the 10 sayings, correspond to the 10 sayings that God created the world. Yes, but again, how long does he go up for? 40 days and 40 nights. That was also levels of creation. So when we talk about these levels of 40 in terms of creation, where else do we see the level of 40? Where do we see the number 40? So there are two areas in halacha where we see 40. We see 40 when it comes to makos. When a person sits and gets lashes, the Torah tells us, arba'im yakenu, that you lash him 40 times. And we know that when it comes to the malachos of Shabbos, Chazal tell us that there are arba'im chasar achas. There are 40 malachos minus one. That we say they're 39 in a strange way. We're saying it's 40 minus one. Why do we say that? Just say they're 30 lamitas malachos. Why did Chazal tell us there are 40 minus 1? And we know what's interesting is, even though the Torah tells us, we know the Gemara Makos Chaf Beis, Rava says, how foolish, kama tipshoi, how foolish there are some people that they stand up when the Torah is carried by, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. Why? Why are they foolish? Because the Torah says, give the person who sins 40 lashes, but Chazal came and said, you know what? No, no, no. You don't get 40 lashes. You only get 39 lashes. So one second. If the Torah says you get 40 lashes, why did Chazal come and say you only get 39 lashes? So Chever, here's where it gets wild. Okay, you ready to get like even crazier if you're actually still paying attention and still understanding what I'm talking about? Okay, so now let's get wild here. Just like the world had 40 stages of creation, so too, there are 40 levels in every soul. And when a person sins, you've defiled all the level of your soul. So therefore, you have to be lashed 40 times. That's what the Torah tells us. Arba'im yakenu. You're lashed 40 times. Zakt Chazal. You know what Chazal come and reveal to us? No, it's not true. There's one level of soul that is never sullied by sin. There's one level of soul that's never touched by sin. And therefore, you don't need to be lashed for that level of soul. That level of soul wasn't touched by the chait. And therefore, we know that just like in soul, and there's also in time, there's also Bechinas Arba'im in time. What is the aspect of 40th in time? What comes at this end of a count of 40? Yom Kippur comes at the end of a count of 40. From Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to get the second set of Luchos, he came down on what? He came down on Yom Kippur. He went up Rosh Chodesh Elul. Moshe Rabbeinu, the third time he was up for 40 days and 40 nights, it started on Rosh Chodesh Elul, came down on Yom Kippur. What is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is that 40th level in time with the 40th level of soul, actually the first level of soul, that isn't touched by sin. And so too, Yom Kippur is the only day of the year that we know al pi Kabbalah and al pi Chazal that there's no, the Yetzirah doesn't have effect on Yom Kippur. The Yetzirah doesn't have effect, meaning it can't touch Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is that level of 40th, that level that is always pristine, that is never, never touched. And that's why, by the way, what's so interesting, Rav Wolfson explains beautifully, beautifully. The Gemara, Rava says how foolish, tipshim, right? They're foolish. They stand for a Torah that says Lashem 40 times, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham who says only Lashem 39. Tipesh, he brings from a Chidah, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. You know what Tipesh, the word Tipesh, Tes Peshin, also are the letters of Pshat, simple. The simple reading of Torah is you lash him 40 times. You know why? Because the simple reading of a human being is when they sin that they've defiled themselves. And they need to be lashed 40 times. But when you go deep into a human being, you'll see. No, it's not true. A person, a Jew, in their deepest level, in the deepest place, is still pure, is still pristine. And that's why, by the way, there's a famous halacha. In the realm of Jewish divorce, a divorce has to be given miratzon habal. A divorce has to be given by the will of a husband. But you know what we're allowed to do? We're allowed to beat him until he says he wants to give it. Now tell me, does the guy really want to give it? So the famous expression of the Rambam is kofen oso. The Gemara Achiyo Merotzani, that you beat him until he says he wants to. And the Rambam writes in his halachic guide, because at the core, every Jew wants. How does the Rambam know that? Because of this 40th level of soul, this aspect of the soul that always wants to do what's right. So listen, Chaver, listen to this. So we know, based on the Sefer Yetzirah, you have nefesh, you have zman, you have something on the level of soul, you have something on the level of time, and where else do you have it? I know Adam is saying to himself out loud now, saying to himself, because I'm sorry, Adam, I can't hear you, but he's saying it out loud, makom. Place, right? There are three realms of existence that you find spiritual ideas expressed, the same spiritual idea expressed in a different way in each of the three realms. So this 40th level that's expressed in time in Yom Kippur, that's expressed in soul in that part of you that is never sullied by sin, and that's why you don't get lashed 40 times, because you didn't affect all 40 levels. You only get lashed 39, right? Where is it in place? In place, you know where it is? It's in the Holy of Holies. And so that's why when you bring the blood of those sacrifices into the Holy of Holies, it doesn't have to touch anything. And it's not supposed to touch anything in the Holy of Holies, because your sin didn't go that far. It has to be brought in and it has to be sprinkled, but it doesn't touch anything to show that the Holy of Holies in every Jewish soul is still pure and has not been defiled. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful Torah that it relates to the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Right? Well, let's go to Parshas Kedoshim, and there's still something. But by the way, before we get to Parshas Kedoshim, we mentioned just Agav Urcha, right? That when it comes to the Malachos of Shabbos, that Chazal tell us it's Arba'im Chasar Achas, it's 40 minus 1. Why 40 minus 1? Just say 39. Lamites Malachos, why 40 minus 1? So Rav Wolfson brings down from some sources that you know what the Malachos of Shabbos are? Those are the Malachos that were cursed by through Adam Harishon's sin. These were the Malachos that Adam Harishon, through his sin, we know, B'zeh Sapecha Toch Alechem, and that Hashem tells him that your work, you're gonna plow and you're gonna plant and it's gonna come up thorns and thistles, meaning the very malachos that were the essence of creative activity in the world were corrupted and were blemished by Adam Arishon. But even Adam Arishon's sin didn't reach the 40th level, only 39, and that's why only 39 malachos were niskalkil, were corrupted by Adam Arishon's sin. That's just an aside. But this beautiful, beautiful Torah, this Torah is so beautiful of Rav Wolfson, that this is why you don't have the blood reaching the kaporis, because bilvavi mishkan evne, because inside every Jew is a Beis HaMikdash, right? V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, and I want to dwell amongst them. So that point, that holy and holy in us, has never been defiled. So therefore, the holy and holy in place, the blood doesn't touch anything in there. It just gets sprinkled like in the air. Again, touches the ground. But it doesn't touch the kaparis. It doesn't touch the arun. To remind us, to symbolize to us, that there's a part of you that has never been sullied by sin. And that, Rav Wolfson says, is also pshat in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim, that the Zohar HaKadosh and Chazal tell us that all the Torah is to be found in Parshas Kedoshim. In the beginning of Kedoshim, we find all of the Aseres HaDibros. And again, that the Zohar says, when the Holy, Holy Chever would come to Parshas Kedoshim, there was great, great joy. Great joy when they come to Parshas Kedoshim. And again, it's told to Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. But Rav Wolfson asks, why is there a double Lashon? And many Mefarshim are bothered by this. The Pasuk is, Dader El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire congregation of the children of Israel, va'amarta aleihem, and tell them, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem, that you should be holy, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. So what's the double lashon? Why does it say daber and then va'amarta? So Rav Wolfson is a very simple reading of the pasuk. Rav Wolfson had a very, very beautiful, simple reading of the pasuk. What is daber? We know a dibur is a lashon kasha. Is a harsh term. That's why people say dibur is command. It's not really command. It's properly translated as the Ten Commandments, but it's a language of speaking harshly, a lashon kasha. What is amira? Amira is a form of speaking belashon racha, in a softer tone, in a calmer tone, right? So therefore, Rav Wolfson says, daberel kol adas b'nei Yisrael, that yes, you have to speak to the Jewish people harshly. In what sense? You have to let them know that they're going to have to work hard to be able to achieve holiness. This isn't easy. You got to put in real effort. You got to put in significant effort to achieve holiness. Especially we know the challenges that we have in our day and age are ayom v'nora, frightening. The challenges of holiness today, purity today, oyom venora. Challenges that we haven't had since the Dar HaMabel, and as we've said many, many times, great tzaddikim said, we're beyond the Dar HaMabel. We're at the 50th level of Tumah, the famous Arachayim HaKadosh. We're mamish at the Sharnon, in the 50th level of Tumah, in the lowest of the low. So daber, you have to speak to them, Hashem's telling Moshe, in a harsh way, that you got to speak some Musar. You got to tell it to them, daber. But at the same time, that you have to speak harsh, v'amarta aleihem. V'amarta, you also have to speak it softly. What does that mean? If you're telling them harsh, but then soft, daber el kol adas ben Yisrael v'amarta aleihem. That yes, the beginning of this journey towards holiness is going to be very hard. And tell them, daber. It's kasha. It's hard, but va'amarta, tell them b'lashon rakha, in a sweet way, in a soft way, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem, that you are going to be holy. Kedoshim tiyu, you will be holy. You know why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I, Hashem, your God, and holy. And do you know what? Do you know where you come from? You know that 40th level of soul that's never touched by sin? The Balatani is a chusig in Aleinu, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, and others say that highest level of soul, the deepest level of soul, is the chelik al kam yimal mamash. It's that aspect of God that's nekuda pnimis, that absolute point of purity and holiness, is that aspect of godliness that animates all, that's inside of us. And so therefore, Rav Wolfson says, what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Speak harsh, Moshe. You're going to start the process of trying to come to holiness. It's not easy. It's very difficult. But v'amarta aleihem, tell them, b'lashon kala, or b'lashon rach, in a soft way, that you're already there. Yes, you have to work hard, but understand there's beautiful, deep, gar helig, immense holiness inside of you. And you know why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. because I, Hashem, your God, am holy. And we know the deep, deep connection between the neshama and between the Borei Olam. And so this is something that as we're working during this time of Sfiras HaOmer, as we're working during, I apologize, the Torah about Rabbi Akiva versus his daughter's fiance that broke the Shidduch Ben Azai, the debate about what the most important, what the rule of the Torah is about Moshe and Aaron, we're going to have to get to another time. Rav Olson is another beautiful Torah. I apologize for another time. Maybe Shabbos will talk about this beautiful Torah, the difference between Moshe and Aaron, is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. Some very, very important Torahs there. But just remember what we learned tonight, that we're here during Sfiras HaOmer, preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah, preparing for Chag HaShavuos Zman Matan Torah Seinu, when the Shidduch of Hashem and the Jewish people goes through. And we have to know that that Mamlachas Kohanim the Goy Kadosh, that we are given the divine directive, Atem Tiuli Mamlachas Kohanim the Goy Kadosh. Hashem wants us to be a kingdom of Kohanim. We're all priests. We're all Kohanim. And the Goy Kadosh and a holy nation. This is who we are. This is what we're capable of doing. And this is the transformation that we have to commit to working on during Sfiras HaOmer. And that's why we read these parashas. And the Ezus Hashem, when we were able to smell the scent of the Yom Kippur, we think about Aaron Achicha, the greatness of Aaron, the no kinna, the sense of his batlus, that it's not about me, it wasn't about Aaron. Understanding the deep, deep lessons of why the blood doesn't touch the kaporis, why the blood is sprinkled but doesn't touch, because inside each Jew there's that 40th level, the 40 levels of creation, the 40 days of the forming of a fetus, the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh El till Yom Kippur. It's all, there's that part in a person, why you're only lashed 39 times, even though the Torah says 40. Because on the simple level, a person looks so far, but in the deepest place, no Jew is so far. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. And so Hashem should just bless us all, that we should have siyata d'shamayim, that we should have special divine assistance in becoming the mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh, l'tareinu kadoshenu, b'kedushosech alyona, amen. So have a good Shabbos, everyone. B'haslacha in your avodah.